Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey, friends, welcome back to Risen Motherhood. My name is Laura Wiffler, and I'm going to be joined soon by my co-host, Emily Jensen. But before that, I want to get to just a couple of announcements because this is the first time we're back after a long summer break. We did drop a surprise bonus AUA episode a bit ago. So if you missed that, make sure to go back one episode and tune in to those Ask Us Anything shows. They are super fun and we love to do them. But this show is really the kickoff to our new miniseries that's all about the foundational elements of what it means to be a gospel mom. So in this mini series, we're really going to talk about what it means to live a risen motherhood. This is one of our very last mini series before the ministry ends. And we wanted to make sure that we bottled up our brains as best we could, lifted the hood on everything we know and do so that you can keep going and keep doing this long after the ministry is over. So all of this actually coincides with the book that we have coming. Gospel Mom is the title of our next book, and it comes out on October 15th of this year. And actually, I think that's just next week. So in this book, we put everything we know about how to make decisions and follow God as a gospel mom. This is our masterclass for gospel motherhood, and we are so excited because it also has a companion workbook called Becoming a Gospel Mom. And that book is a book that's really the closest thing to a Bible study that Emily and I have ever written. It has scripture and questions, and it really takes you significantly deeper through the Gospel Mom book and is perfect for you to do with a friend or even for individual study. So this miniseries, what are we doing here? Well, this miniseries is going to support the book and loosely follow the outline of the book. So it's great if you have the book and the workbook with you, but you also don't have to. We want to make sure that no matter if you buy the book or not, you're going to learn and grow from this miniseries either way. So we made sure that it would be easy to understand and follow along, even if you didn't pick up the books. Okay, so last announcement for you guys. If you pre-order the book right now, you are actually still eligible to get the pre-order bonus, the Abide Journal. The Abide Journal is a Bible study workbook that Emily and I put together. It's been free on our site for a long time, but now we have it all put together in a beautiful format. It's got extra pages that you can do the actual work on, and it is going to teach you how to study the Bible with nothing but a pen and paper. And of course, the Bible. The Abide Method comes with all sorts of little extras and notes for how to study the Bible well that you won't want to miss. So for all of this, the books, the pre-order bonus, all of that stuff can be found in the show notes, and there'll be links there, or visit risenmotherhood.com/gospelmom to get all the info. Okay, let's get to the show. Today we are talking about the intro to the book, what kind of moms we want to be, and what kind of promises God has for us. Let's go. Okay, Emily, a while ago, I don't know if you saw this too, but I saw a video on Instagram of a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, and she was talking about how people kind of marvel at how different their children end up being, even though they're raised by the same parent. But she was like, but they are not raised by the same parent. She's like, case in point, you know, my first kid got a raisin up their nose and it was like immediate ER. But then the other kid, like her third child, stuck a Lego up his nose and she was like plugged his other nose and made him push out, like breathe out and like popped the Lego out. And she's like, done. She's like, that is not the same parent. And I felt like in that moment, I was like, amen, this is how I have always felt.
Oh, it is so true. I remember seeing that video and being like, absolutely. And because over time we change, you know, even if our values and our love of the Lord and like the things that we believe deep down have not changed, like our toolbox gets so much bigger and we know so much more and our perspective shifts and changes. And it is so funny. I mean, I think that happens at our house all the time. We're like, our oldest would be like, you would have never done that totally. With us, you know? And it's like, you're right. Cause I didn't know that at that time. And it is kind of interesting when you think about how many different stages and seasons you go through as a mom. I'm just trying to kind of like get your footing in motherhood and figure out like who you are and as a mom and what kind of mom you are and all those different things.
Yeah. I think that it's really interesting because it just takes years kind of to figure out who we are, like you were saying. And, you know, the way that we make those decisions really change because, for example, if it's like, hey, I want to take him to the ER, well, maybe like at the time, safety is like your number one value and you don't have experience. And so you're like, well, just in case I'm wrong, and there's fear mixed in. But then, you know, a mom the third time around is kind of like, oh, I've been around the block. I know what I'm doing. Like, and if this doesn't work, then we'll try the ER, yeah. You know? And so it's definitely a totally different mom. And I think that this is just the essential question that we have to ask as moms, because no matter how much we hear that freedom in Christ idea, it can still feel like there are right ways to mother and wrong ways to mother. I mean, not even talking about sin issues, right? Like, we all know the definite wrong ways.
Yeah, there's definitely wrong ways to mother.
But most of us, especially those of us listening to this podcast, you know, in general, we're still struggling over things like school choice and giving your kid a phone, and do you have enough quality time with your kids, or are you feeding them the right nutrition, or are you exposing them too much, or maybe even too little? You know, it's this constant. I mean, I still feel the tension of, am I doing too little here or too much there? Not enough. It's like a constant battle, I think, in motherhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Because all of these things are gray areas, and they are things that are not clearly spelled out in scripture in this super detailed way. And I think one of the things we've realized over the years, not only in our own motherhood, but also just as we've listened to moms share and kind of gone through this whole risen motherhood process, is just how much we just want someone to tell us what to do.
Yeah.
Like, just give me a formula, just give me a handbook, just tell me exactly what school, at what time, just tell me exactly how many minutes of TV, tell me when they can have an iPad or not, like, just tell me what the formula is for loving my children well and for doing good things as a mom and for being a good mom. And then we think like, then I will just do that and I will just follow that. And it's just so interesting because that is not how God has us approach motherhood. It's so much more rich and complex, and, you know, it's about having faith and all these different things. And so it can be frustrating at first, and yet it's freeing. And I think, you know, one of the things we get kind of caught up in is our own image of motherhood.
Yeah.
And like wanting there to be, you know, I think an analogy we've used before is like a manual. You know, when you're putting together furniture, it's like where you can literally see everything so that you can copy it. And we want there to be a category of mom or a lifestyle or a method or something that like we can kind of grab onto and just say, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
That is good motherhood. Yeah. That's godly motherhood. That's Christian motherhood.
Yeah, it's super interesting because I think whether you realize it or not, you start to cobble this together. And especially at the beginning of young motherhood, I know for me, I was really seeking.
Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of, I'm never gonna, and I'm definitely gonna.
For sure. And you're really thinking like, okay, this is a mom that I want to be like, and this is the mom that I don't want to be like. And, you know, we grab these stereotypes and sort of we create our own manual, right? And it might be people that we admire, maybe some people that we know or that we follow on Instagram, like some famous person. We also follow techniques and methods. I can't tell you how many times, especially when we were young moms, these are out of vogue now. So you guys who are young moms are like, what are you guys talking about? But you know, the popular things were kind of baby-led weaning, or you're a baby-wise mom, or you're a co-sleeper mom. And there were definite camps. And whether you identified in that camp or not, you started to follow the gurus, right? The other day I actually saw somebody on Instagram, it was like it said an authoritative parenting account. But then like one of their first squares was like, but it's actually gentle parenting. And I was like, what? You know, like what is happening? But they were like explaining how being authoritative is being gentle. And I'm not even in the gentle parenting movement. You are, yeah, we're both out
we're
of
like,
that.
Don't even know.
But I remember literally thinking like, okay, that's one way to get everybody. You know, that's one way. And so I don't know, you know, we create these stereotypes and I don't know. There's probably other ways that we get these things.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think it becomes an identity question,
yeah,
right? And it's like, if I can just find what kind of mom I am,
yeah,
what label I identify with, there is a sense of like security in that. There's
totally
a sense of belonging in that. There's a sense of I can, you know, pat myself on the back because I found the better way. And, you know, it can come out like things like, you know, people probably don't Well, sometimes they do wear t-shirts with this, but things like, you know, hey, no, I'm a homesteading mom, or like, I really am into this urban lifestyle. We live in a city. I'm definitely an urban mom, or, you know, I'm a missionary mom, or I'm a crunchy mom. Or now there's all these versions of crunchy that I don't know. Have you seen that? Like,
I don't think I have.
Scrunchy, squishy.
What?
Crackly. I don't know.
No, you're making that up.
No.
Really?
You'll have to, I don't know what they all
You'll
are.
You'll have to send me it.
Squishy. I'm a squishy mom.
I don't want to be a squishy mom. I don't even know what that means.
Okay. You know,
all I can think about is my body.
Yeah, like homeschool mom, you know, I'm trendy. I'm an influencer mom. There can be all these different things. Stay-at-home mom. I'm a working mom. And then there's like a whole group of moms who are like, you're not going to box me in. I don't fit into a box. I'm not like anybody else, mom. You know, and so we can put all of these things in front of the word mom. But the truth is, like, no matter how much we want to center our motherhood around like an identity or a, you know, some type of definition of good motherhood that we've either constructed or latched onto, one, we're not going to be able to execute that perfectly. And two, we're still not measuring ourselves up to the right standard or working within the paradigm that God gives us for motherhood. And that's really obviously where Risen Motherhood was born and where all of these aha moments happened for us, especially as we were writing Gospel Mom. Mm,
definitely. Well, and that is, you know, you were talking about all these labels, homesteading mom, crunchy mom, squishy mom, whatever that one is. But really, ultimately, we're called to be Gospel Moms. And that is the impetus behind Emily and I's book and what we're so excited for. But ultimately, whether or not you read the book, like, we hope that you take that home, that God actually does have a person he wants us to model our lives after. He actually does. And it's not that girl on Instagram. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not that friend of yours. It's after Jesus Christ. And so we actually do have a model and we do have a playbook. We do have someone to look up to. And yet sometimes it feels like, you know, we're looking everywhere but to Christ. So we want to just encourage you guys today, of all of the gifts that you get when you are in Christ and what that means for you, because it is so much better than any other mom that you follow, because those are all flawed moms. Those are all flawed methodologies and techniques. Life circumstances are going to come in. And if you even execute something really, really well, eventually, like, hard stuff happens, right? And suddenly this perfectly cobbled together person on Instagram that you are like, I do whatever they say. Oh, I just trust them so much. I just love them so much. Whatever they do, I want to do. Well, then suddenly like your life and their life doesn't match up anymore and it's not going to work. But yet if we look at Christ, his life and his model will apply transcendently no matter what is happening in our own lives. And I think the other thing that gets tricky about modeling our lives after other people is just the reality that typically where those two ditches end up being when we do that, right? We end up either in a ditch of being proud and patting ourselves on the back and feeling like, yes, I successfully did this. I am a good mom. I am perfect. I have achieved, you know, this epic motherhood level. Or we more often than not fall into despair and guilt and just feeling like, man, I couldn't measure up. I couldn't buy the things that she bought. I didn't make the right decision. Oh, now this new research has come out and like, I've been doing this thing all wrong. And so there's these constant feelings of kind of a pendulum swing back and forth of I'm nailing it. I'm not nailing it. I'm nailing it. I'm not. But when our hope is steadfast and secure and our identity is in Christ, then we don't have to experience that pendulum swing.
Yeah. You and I keep talking about like where our loyalty is in motherhood. I think that's something that I have been coming back to a lot in different decisions that we're making is like, I am not loyal. We are not loyal. Gospel moms are not loyal to a method or a lifestyle or an influencer or, you know, a strategy or a picture you have of what kind of mom you're supposed to be. We're loyal to Christ. And what that does is it frees us up to follow him in each and every situation and seek wisdom, seek biblical wisdom for what he would have for us to do in that situation based on our unique circumstances, based on the family that he's given us, based on the place that he's put us and the mission field that he's given us. And that's just so freeing to know that as we follow Christ, we don't have to, maybe some days we are into homesteading a little bit more for a few years, or we are more into homeschooling, or we're more into different types of things. But that isn't the decision maker, right? That isn't the axis around which we spin. When it's Christ, we can be flexible and then we don't have to be judgmental towards other moms and we don't have to rise and fall based on that. And like you said, if something comes up in our lives, where we realize like, ooh, this isn't working anymore for X, Y, and Z reason. We don't have to be a big failure if we are pursuing and following Christ in the midst of that. And I know you and I have talked about this a lot over the years, but there is just tremendous freedom in that. And there's freedom because we're also freed from guilt and we're freed from shame as we, you know, trust in Christ. And so it's just, it's a whole different way of thinking about motherhood.
Yeah. It's one of those things that this, I think, for you and I, Emily, this is like the legacy we want to leave with moms. And this is like, if we could give a mom one message, it's understanding that there is so much freedom when Christ is her all. And when she starts to rightly understand like what God's directives are for motherhood and what are not, it really transforms a mom's ability as she makes decisions and then maybe makes a decision, it doesn't quite work out. And it's not the end of the world, right? She can pivot and she can change. And it's like, hey, that's an understanding of that's just a part of life. That's a part of the fall. And
yeah.
So there are all these promises I think that we have for a mom that follows God. And you and I in the book, we wrote down, I mean, tons of them. I don't even know how many, but pages it feels like.
Yeah, pages.
and that was like not even scratching the surface, right? Yeah. Of promises that a mom has when she is in Christ.
Yeah, we were kind of like, what can you for sure cling to if you are a mom who is living in light of the gospel? And so we wanted to share a few of them on the show today because we feel like they apply to every Christian mom, no matter what situation she's in.
Yeah, I think the tricky thing with the promises, especially if like you do go read the full list, sometimes it's easy for your eyes to glaze over at it.
Yes.
and kind of be like, I've heard this before, or this is churchy, or this is... isn't very tangible, right? It can feel
such a good point.
Yeah. And so I think like, as we talk, we're just gonna talk about three of them. I think to just try to like for 1 second, like apply your mind, you know, and I know that everyone's tired and everyone many of you were probably up all night with a baby and things like that, but trying to apply your mind to these as we talk about them, because when I look at these promises and then Emily and I were talking through the application of them, the tangible parts, I mean, it's just stunning what you have in Christ. And so, I don't know, this first one, I'll just start it off. And it says, a gospel mom, so a woman who trusts in Christ and follows God, she gains a new heart and a new nature with Christ's righteousness. So this means as a mom, you do good not to earn anything, but because good has been done for you and you know you are capable of following and obeying God's commands.
Oh, I feel like this one for me is so impactful when I am in a rut in motherhood or I recognize that I have some patterns that are not wise. You know, it's kind of those things that wake you up in the middle of the night and you're laying there in bed and you're thinking about how the day went or maybe, you know, some choices you've been making as a mom lately. And you're like, ah,
yeah,
I know kind of in my gut that we need to make a change here. And it would be so defeating to feel like either I'm a victim to my circumstances and I'm trapped or I'm stuck here or, you know, I'm a failure and I can never get out of this or there's kind of like no way forward. But I think what's so beautiful is that in Christ, there is a way forward with the Spirit in us. I know that like that's the Lord working in my heart and he's going to give me strength and power and motivation and creativity and new ideas to be able to move forward in obedience. It's not going to be perfect, but I don't know. I feel like I turn to this promise a lot when I have those moments in motherhood where I'm like, oof, I need to pivot here, but I have power to pivot in Christ and I have power to turn back. And praise the Lord. And to do that without kind of beating myself up.
Right.
I can just literally just start over right now.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
It is wild because I don't know of any other like religion that allows and affords that type of an opportunity.
Yeah.
And to just say like, hey, you can start over clean slate right this moment. And I often think of like, you know, being a Christian and knowing this promise is like the greatest habit tracker you could ever have because it's like, okay, we're just going to like start over. And I know that I have the power to complete this and do this thing in Christ, in his strength, when I walk by the Spirit, as I'm trying to be faithful to him. And I agree. I have a moment every night I just call the replay, you know, and it's like where you go over your in your mind all the ways that you messed up in the evening. And there is something really freeing about being able to say, okay, like I receive that I didn't do it perfectly and I wish I wouldn't have spoken those words there, or I would have held my tongue there, or served more in this part, or whatever it is that you're kind of walking through. But then also to say, okay, I'm going to lay those at the cross. Like I can lay those there and walk freely, and I can go to bed like not ruminating on those. I mean, that is what a gift as moms. I mean, as any person to have that and be able to say, I can rest freely because Christ already paid for that on my behalf. And tomorrow is a new day. Mercies are new.
Amen. Okay, another promise is that a gospel mom understands the realities of a broken earth and the hardship of life east of Eden. So essentially, this is just knowing that there is suffering and sorrow and that that's going to, unfortunately, be a constant companion throughout our days on earth, and that we don't expect that life is going to be easy or be perfect.
Yeah, I have been surprised at a few times where I've heard a friend say, I thought we had endured enough. I didn't understand why we had more suffering. And it's usually from a non-believer, you know, somebody who is like, I thought enough bad things had happened, or I thought maybe because nothing bad had happened yet, like we were going to escape it. Mm-hmm. And I've heard those words be spoken. And I think as Christians, we have such a different paradigm to be able to say and expect, like we know hard things will happen, but we also know that's not the end of the story. And I think this is something that replays in my mind a lot, to just give comfort, I think, because people who are very surprised when hardships happen, I mean, that's like a whole different type of way of processing, you know, when you're like, this just... Like,
my default is, this should be good. And like, what happened that made this bad? What did I do? Or what did... Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That it really can lead you down to that. Like, I want to find the source of this, where instead there are unexplainable things that happen in life. And as believers, there's maybe like a holy discontentment with that that can happen. So it doesn't mean that like, oh, you know, just this is horrible and that's great. That's the way it's supposed to be. Like more. That's not the attitude either. But the attitude can say, okay, I receive this. I'm not surprised by this. And I know what to do in the pain and in the hardship and the sorrow. And I know who to turn to. And I have hope and a comfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have just found it so freeing, I think, to accept the realities of the fall and just to know, yep, this is part of life. And I think in the last few years, especially, I've been surprised at like how far the effects of the fall actually go, and how we truly cannot escape. There is no corner of creation left untouched by it. And even in our best efforts, you know, even when we're trying to communicate, we're being patient and we have the Spirit working in us and all those things, we still don't do things perfectly. There's miscommunication that happens and all that stuff. And I was reading this article the other day about how they found, like, you know, basically traces of microplastics in everything. You know, they're like in your water, in every water, all over the world, and like every soil, in organic soil, in everything. And it's just like, part of me, just as a Christian, was like, yep, that's the fall. Like, it's everywhere. You can't get away from it. You can't purify your food enough to, like, get away from the toxins. And it's like, you can, that's, you know, a whole nother discussion is like, of course, you can do things and try and whatever. But, like, there is just an acceptance that can come and go, yeah, this is the world that we live in. So I know that my relationship with my in-laws isn't going to be smooth and perfect all the time, and that I'm going to have to pray about that, and I'm going to have to walk in faith for that, and I'm going to have to get counsel on that sometimes. Or I know that, you know, my child is going to do wrong things, and so there are going to be moments in my parenthood where I'm going to be embarrassed, and that's going to happen. And not to, like you said, kind of feel like I have to decode every time and figure out, what did I do? Or is this karma? Or I don't even know what people blame it on, but it's just kind of like, yep, this is us. This is humans. This is the brokenness of the world. And like, now we turn to God and we ask for his help to work through it.
Okay. Last one we want to talk through is, a gospel mom rejoices because nothing can separate her from the love of God. So this means that when you fail, you can tell God, you can repent, and you can keep trusting in him. God isn't mad at you or disappointed, and he loves you more than you can ever imagine. God promises to help you through the guidance of his word and his Spirit and other people around you.
You know, I really take a lot of comfort in this when I'm thinking about things like personal spiritual disciplines, even, and knowing that, especially in motherhood, sometimes there are seasons where you just can't be, I don't know, as consistent as you want to be, or maybe you're not reading the word every single day, or you're not praying as much as you want to, and knowing that, like, because of the grace of Christ, like, this relationship that we have with God is unbreakable. You know, nothing can separate us from his love. And I just sometimes find that there are days where I'm like, okay, I didn't do all the disciplines that I wanted to do today. I wasn't meeting with you, but like, yet you still love me and I can still fully bask in that and I can still fully receive your grace. And we don't want to cheapen that, but it's still just so comforting, right? It's like kind of thinking of it more from that parent-child relationship.
I was just going to say that.
Unconditional love of like, kids have good days and kids have bad days and, you know, all the spectrum of things. And yet, like, as a mom, we know, like, we love them, you know, no matter what they do. We're still there for them. And someday when my kids grow up, they don't call me from college for a week. Like, I'm still going to be thinking about them all the time and, like, loving them. And so it's not an exact parallel, but it's just, like, a really nice picture for us on those days where we kind of feel like a little lukewarm or just, like, we didn't do all the things that we wanted to do to show our love back to God.
Yeah, and I think that going back to that parent-child relationship, I mean, I think the thing that I'm so grateful for is that we have a God that can handle our anger, our sorrow, our grief, our joy. You know, like there's no emotion we have that's like too big for God or too scary for him. And just like as a parent, like you want your child to tell you those things and you want them to be honest. Or when I've gone through seasons of doubt and just felt like, well, I guess I'll try to tell him, you know, and it feels kind of strange because I always get a little scared that like, he's going to Job mic drop me, you know, and kind of go back to, I'm like, I don't want that either, Lord. But I also am so grateful for that freedom because nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, that is, and he wants to hear and he wants to know. And it's kind of like, it can be very like release the pressure valve whenever we're really honest with him. And I think when we keep it bottled up because we're afraid he won't care or that he'll smite us or smote us. Remember, we've had this conversation on the show before. Smite, smote. We don't know which one it is.
Smoted me.
Oh, it's smoted.
No, okay. I made that up.
Smotted. I don't know. But we're afraid that, you know, God's going to reject us. We don't have that. We don't have that fear as gospel moms. And so I'm really grateful for that. So what we want you to hear from these three tiny promises, friends, not tiny, these are huge, but these promises, friends, is that they really can change your life. They can change your motherhood. And that these are the things that we want you to ultimately be relying on more than any influencer's advice, any methodology, any parenting technique. While those can be really helpful and I think offer some guardrails for ways that we want to do motherhood, ultimately, like these are the trump cards. These are the ultimate things that we can look to and know that God has provided a source for us to go to and to look to for how to be a mom and to love our children well. We have the Spirit in our hearts working in us. We have scripture that we can search and mine for truths. And so you have everything you need to be a great mom when you trust in Christ and you follow him.
Hi, I'm Amy and I am part of the Risen Motherhood community for a variety of reasons, but basically, just the things that you guys share, how you encourage mothers and women with the truth and not just with a fabricated message, just really resonates with my heart. I think we all want a quick fix. And if I can be honest, motherhood is not easy and it's not always joyous. And so I'm just so grateful for the ministry you guys are doing, pointing people back to God.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.